Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A new poll out by Gallup, well, relatively new, toward the end of last year, that said the approval rate of the honest and ethical standards of clergy is down, and they think it has a lot to do with the scandals that have rocked the Catholic Church. But one thing I take exception to is that a line in here, it says the church was rocked again this year by more abuse scandals, and I don't think that's quite fair to say it that way, because these are things that happened a long time ago and they just came to light. Archbishop Gregory Amon joins us right now, our friend, to talk about this. Good morning, Archbishop.
Good morning, Tommy. Thank you for the opportunity to talk this morning.
You're quite welcome. I guess let's start with what I just said. Do you think the church has been treated fairly by the media in terms of making it clear that these are not new allegations? It's just something that happened from a long time ago coming forward?
I very honestly think that it's been very confusing the way some media outlets have presented it. First of all, let me say that in the past, you know, we made some terrible mistakes 40, 50, 60 years ago. We made some terrible mistakes, and we have to admit that, repent, and ask for forgiveness from God's people as well as from God. But since 2002, we have made significant progress. And a lot of times the way that these stories are presented, you would think that abuse is taking place in all of our churches and schools today, and that's not true. And let me just say that one case of sexual abuse, particularly of a minor by a cleric, is a terrible, terrible sin. It's awful. It's evil. But it's not happening today. And I think that the way in which some of this is presented misses that. For example, in the last 2 years, in the whole United States, in the Catholic Church, that there have only been 8 allegations, and some of those have been proven true, some not. That's very significant. Also, the grand jury report, I think, was misrepresented. In the grand jury report, if you look at it carefully, from Pennsylvania, you know how many cases were after 2002 when we put into place a lot of processes and procedures to make sure that children were safe? There were only 2 cases in the Pennsylvania grand jury report that happened after 2002, and they were reported to police. And I say all this not to be defensive, but I also think that we as leaders have to repent for the past, but we also have to move forward, and we have to acknowledge that since 2002, significant progress has been made. And what this image about this abuse going on in the church today and in our schools today, it's simply not true.
Just to be clear, when you say only, in no way are you implying that that's acceptable, as you said. And just to clear up, because I know you said this initially and people may not latch on to it, 1 is too many.
Correct. 1 is too many, because one person's life affected is far too many, and it's evil, it's sinful, and the cleric who did it certainly needs to repent, and we as church need to help him to repent. So 1 is 1 too many. I think when we look at statistics, you know, that's the difference, that when we look at statistics, we have made progress that doesn't excuse the sins of the past, but it does say that we have moved forward and we have learned from our mistakes and we have safe environment today. And in fact, it's been over 15 years in the Archdiocese of New Orleans since we have had a credible allegation of sexual abuse of a minor. And that's significant.
Well, I think you got to look at it since then in terms of general population. And unfortunately, it happens, and it's a sinful, terrible thing, and it destroys a life when it does. But you understand what I'm saying? If it happens in the general population, it's going to happen in just about everything else. Do you understand what I'm trying to?
I do, exactly. No, I think your point is well made, and it does happen. Unfortunately, you know, sexual abuse of minors happens in families. It happens in team sports. It happens in schools, you know, other schools. So it's out there. It's been happening since the beginning of humanity. It doesn't make it right. In fact, it makes it even that much more evil and wrong. But we have to grapple with this. And I think as a church, I'm not surprised that the rate of trust and it has gone down considerably. And I think it's really geared mostly towards bishops, because the perception is that we have failed in not dealing with these fairly and justly and in a transparent way.
To be clear, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I think for the most part, you know, the clergy, like priests in parishes, are very much respected. If a person likes a priest in their parish and they think he's a good priest, they're going to look at him and say, well, you know, I know this is going on in the church. I know this is was going on in the world, but, you know, we're safe here. And I think that the image of the individual pastor makes a big difference.
And we made note before that the way it's being reported, and it's terrible, the act itself and will always be and is about the most horrific crime you can commit. Archbishop, to be clear, when you say repent, you don't mean that repent in light of the perpetrators not being subject to criminal penalties, although they should repent, I would think, as well. But you're talking about the church, right?
I'm talking about church leaders need to repent. I mean, I would say that, you know, sexual abuse in any way, especially of a minor, there is no excuse. And we as church leaders need to repent. The person who did it, the perpetrator, needs to repent. But it's not just repenting and asking for forgiveness from the person, from the church at large. It's also action. So it's repenting, saying, I'm sorry, but also action. And the action that we've taken and that is in place in all of our schools and all of our churches, anyone who works with youth have to go through a formal background check. Whether it's a teacher, a coach, a youth minister, a priest, whoever it is, has to go through a background check so that we can say that there is nothing in their background that would make them a danger to kids. Secondly, everybody working in the church with youth has to go through a safe environment program. It's an instructional program. Not only do they have to go through the program, but we also share this program with youth so that they know, they can see the signs when somebody might be grooming them. So we have learned a lot, especially since 2002, when we as bishops came up with this protection, a charter for the protection of children and young people. We have learned a lot. It doesn't take away from the mistakes of the past. It certainly doesn't take away from the pain of the victims, some of whom are still suffering today. But we want to say that we have made mistakes. We're repenting. We apologize. But we're moving forward with what I think is some very positive action.
Somebody texted in, Archbishop, at what point do the criminal authorities become involved with this, or law enforcement, I guess what they're saying?
Yes, I think that's a very good question. And for us, law enforcement becomes involved immediately. If someone reports sexual abuse of a minor, the first thing we do is call the police. And we cooperate with the police in their investigation. We also try to do our own investigation, but we cooperate. And if one, you know, and anyone, it doesn't make any difference who they are, priest, whatever. If they have done something criminal, they should go to jail. They should be treated like anyone else. And so we want the law enforcement to be involved in in the situation immediately.
Yeah, I was watching this movie that I had recorded, Spotlight, about the Boston Globe and their investigation, et cetera. Again, if you just watch the movie today, you're going to think that's going on today, when in fact it's not. I think that goes back to, I don't know, 2015, maybe. I don't know. I don't have that.
Right. It goes back to the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Yeah.
Okay. What message would you give to people that are struggling with their faith? And I ask you that because in one part of the movie, the guy talks about he was thinking about going back to church, but he wouldn't after this. What would you say to people that are struggling with their faith, thinking, you know what, I want to go back, but it's hard to go and not get angry, et cetera?
I would say to please accept our sincere apology, first of all. Secondly, we as leaders, all of us as leaders, we are sinners, and we have to repent for our sins and the sins of others. And I would ask those who are thinking about not coming back to church to give us an opportunity to prove that we can be trusted, that we can be credible, that we can be transparent. And I know that's going to take a long time in the hearts of many people, but I would just beg you to give us an opportunity to do that. I really do believe that, you know, God is leading the church. It's his church, and he will lead us to renewal and to change. And we need people to work with us. Those people who are saying, I don't want to go back, or I don't, you know, believe in the church anymore. Those are the people we need to help us to move forward and to help us to be accountable.
Archbishop, before we let you go, the Bible, does it not mention sacrificing rams a couple of times?
It does.
Mm-hmm. It does. That's what I thought. So when it comes to this Sunday, would that apply at
yes.
all?
It absolutely does apply.
It does. Okay.
Yes. That's a very good question.
Well, I try to be, I'm a good, anyway. Praying for the team. How do you do that? You pray that nobody gets hurt? You pray that everybody has their best game? What do you do? How do you handle all that?
Yeah, I pray, first of all, as you said, that the team is that they're safe, that they're able to play and to really use to the best of their ability the gifts that they have. Now, we're all prejudiced in New Orleans. We say, Lord, we want them to be safe. We want them to do the very best, and we'd like for them to win. But what's more important is that they are able to show us that the dedication that they have for the Saints and for our city.
Were you here for the NFC Championship game against the Vikings?
No, I was not.
Okay. Because my daughter told me she was praying in French toward the end of the game because she was going to Ursuline at the time and they taught her French. Thank you, Archbishop. I appreciate your time.
Okay, Tommy, you're welcome.
Have a good day. Archbishop Gregory Amon. It's in the Bible, sacrificing rams. By who else, Saints?
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.